All right, so we've got an England game coming up very shortly on the Saturday, and of course this is Team 33, and we do have a resident Englishman on offtheball.com, and that is Kieran Bradley, who has been on Team 33 before and is also responsible for about 40% of the humming and singing of It's Coming Home in this building. Kieran, this game, obviously, it's huge. Probably as big a game as England have played in the last, I'd say, since when? Probably 2006, probably, quarterfinal against Portugal.
Yeah, definitely. It's huge. Mm-hmm. And it's only really dawned on me this morning, really, because everyone's been so ecstatic with how Tuesday night ultimately went.
Yeah.
And I think as much as has already been said quite a lot, just the manner of victory, the fact that not only was it penalties, that it was coming from behind on penalties, that we came after that, you know, the 90th minute equaliser, it was just, I've never been so happy as an England fan, you know, in recent history.
Yeah.
And what's interesting for me about this game is that it's hard enough for fans to kind of concentrate on their work the day after. So I'm not trying to say how badly my work in here was on Wednesday. But you know, in terms of the players, that's got to be an incredible challenge to the coaching staff as well.
Yeah.
So I just hope that that's something that they got, you know, they dealt with okay anyway.
Yeah. Now, obviously, the nature of the victory against Colombia, given that it kind of broke a curse, the penalty curse that's afflicted England pretty much in every kind of penalty shootout match they've ever faced, other than the Spain in Euro 96. Now, in regards to this Sweden team, personally, I think this is arguably the hardest team they'll probably face in this World Cup stylistically. This is a team set up to just sit back, and England don't exactly have the kind of flair necessary to open up a defence. They have pace, they have a little bit of guile in and around, you know, Kane and Sterling, but not that kind of creativity to open up a defence. And I don't know whether you're as worried. I'm worried as a neutral here, not as a...
Come on. Get off the fence.
I know. I've been humming Three Lions in the office here as well, and I'm also responsible for probably 20% of the amount of singing and humming. But I don't know. Are you as worried in regards to this the type of team that they're facing here, and that this could be a stumbling block of huge proportions?
I'll tell you what you mean. Stylistically, it could be an issue, but I think just to come back to the point of creativity, I don't think it's the fact that England don't have that creativity. It's perhaps that they haven't shown it yet.
Mm.
There's been a lot said, particularly about Sterling, who I felt was actually a little bit better than a lot of people were giving credit for on Tuesday night. He was getting a lot of treatment from Mina and still managed to keep it fairly neat and fairly tidy. Look, he hasn't been the explosive at his explosive best yet, but I hope he can be. In that respect, yeah, look... The thing is that I've been impressed most with about England, actually, and was particularly struck about on Tuesday night, was the fact of how composed they are on the ball, particularly around the back. Like, there were points where they were, where I would almost be shouting, lump it, you know, get rid of it kind of thing. And they would just try these intricate little passes that were really coming off. So that's actually bodes very well for me. And I think actually if we keep that defensive solidity and, you know, keep a little bit of composure there, then it just takes... It only takes a little, couple of kind of moments of genius from the likes of Sterling or Ali, or indeed even Rashford, or potentially even Loftus-Cheek or someone like that if they come in later in the game.
Yeah, the other side of the composure debate also, it relates to how they dealt with, and I'm going to use the term shithousery here, from the Colombia side. There were elements, obviously the headbutt and, you know, just a bit of narkiness in the game, and they seem to deal with that well. I don't know, some people were saying the way Gareth Southgate reacted quite calmly to that, as did the players, actually bodes even more well than in terms of the actual ability on the ball and in terms of how they kind of dealt with the playing side of things.
Yeah, I mean, that was very encouraging. I was certainly getting pretty angry as a fan at some of the stuff they're up to. And look, to be honest, also at some of the stuff that England were at as well. But by the same token, as Southgate said in his post-match press conference, it's, you know, that's the level that some teams bring you down to, and if it's going to be brought down to the trenches, then I'm quite happy for that to happen. And yeah, you're absolutely right. I think Southgate emanates a feeling of kind of quiet confidence and authority there that is being picked up on the players. But by the same token, I think he picks up on the fact that a lot of these players are young, enthusiastic, not really shithouses. They are people who have come through kind of decent quality academies. If you look at the likes of Lingard, Alexander-Arnold, Sterling, people like this, they're not hotheads, as we've seen in England teams of past. So I'm very happy with that. I think, as I say, you're probably not going to see the same thing with Sweden. I think the concern for me is where familiarity might breed contempt, and that's something that Southgate might have to really be on top of, because we obviously know that England have played Sweden quite a lot over the years.
Major tournaments. And the record until very recently was actually quite poor.
Yeah.
There were a few draws.
I always think, you know, it's like one of those stats where people go, you know, oh, Tottenham haven't beat Norwich since 1972. It was like, well, yeah, he played them three times or something. But my point is that, you know, there's a lot of churn and turnover and different coaches and different players in those times. So that doesn't worry me too much. But their performance in the group stage was very solid. And they're almost doing a similar thing to what United did after Van Nistelrooy left. Was this kind of like, I know obviously Ronaldo emerged as a superstar, but they were more collective. They were, you know, giving chances up, and they had a little bit more of a kind of collective unity. So it's something that concerns me. What I learned and what sort of dawned on me on Tuesday was England are a pretty good team. England are quite a composed and patient, intelligent team that are led by a patient, composed, intelligent man. And that's what I like. That's what gives me quiet confidence. Not shouting it's coming home. Humming it, but not shouting.
I saw Southgate actually has that threaded into his into his suit, though, doesn't he? Which kind of nullifies everything else.
So that might be a Photoshop, but I'm not sure.
Trust everything you see on Twitter.
Exactly.
The
that's
the golden rule.
I certainly saw Ron Burgundy getting quite up in arms about it. But yeah, look, but I think ultimately I'm quietly confident.
So your prediction, I suppose, as a final point, it's an England win.
It is narrowly, yeah, and it might come in something like extra time. I just, as I say, it's not sort of doing that thing that England fans of past have done, which is, we are entitled to win X, Y, and Z. That's not it at all. It's just that these are two fairly balanced enough teams in terms of the skill. I think if Harry Kane has the game that we know he can, then that's likely to be the deciding factor, because, to be frank, Sweden don't have a player of his calibre in that
Emil
position.
Emil Forsberg's probably the closest they have to a star, and he's not, like, he plays for RB Leipzig. He's very good. He scored a heavily deflected goal against Switzerland, but it's not as Zlatan, who I think, fortunately for them, actually, he's not involved, and it's just a team ethic.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, Forsberg is a very good player, and it's, again, not to get kind of presumptuous. It's just the fact that Harry Kane, you know, scored 30 plus goals in the last, I think, three seasons, or maybe last season was his first one. But regardless, he's a cold eye killer when he wants to be, and I hope that he's on his game tomorrow, because I feel like he's going to have to be clinical.
Yeah.
There's not going to be many chances. I hope England. What I was very impressed with actually on Tuesday night was both Stones and Maguire. Their ability to bring the ball out from the back, I felt, was really encouraging. And I also think that Maguire might be one of those players that gets a big move at the end of this tournament. So we shall see.
Kieran Bradley, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.